Good morning. All right. You guys have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah. Hey, let's give it up for Thanksgiving. Awesome. How many people had one Thanksgiving meal? How many people had more than one Thanksgiving meal? Yeah, that's right. Rocking it out between like multiple families and stuff. That's what I did. That's fun. How about the day after Thanksgiving? What's that holiday called again? Oh, that's right, Black Friday, right? Right? You guys celebrate that? You guys no. All right, hold on a minute. I did this at the last services, and it actually, I asked if anybody did the Black Friday thing, and they're like, no. And then I said, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Seriously, close your eyes. And by showing of hands, this is okay. It's a church. You're supposed to confess stuff, right? And I'll pray some sort of pastoral prayer of reconciliation on you, and you'll be okay. So close your eyes and raise your hand if you went out on Friday morning. All right. Okay. Okay. Now I know who to be disappointed in. I'm kidding. So lots of people did this stuff, right? I mean, I actually, there's this picture here I found in the papers, man. The papers, if you looked in the newspapers, it was crazy. It was violent. It was violence. There were violence in the streets, people. And it was stuff like people taking cans of pepper spray to each other. And seriously, just Google Black Friday crowds or riots, Black Friday riots, and it is wild. You'll see it. So for that reason, I tend to avoid that stuff myself and tend to avoid places like malls myself. But last week I took our kids to the mall. My wife and I took our kids to the mall. It seems to be this kind of growing tradition because they like to ride the carousel, right? And they like to see all the holiday decorations. And those are my kids. It's Lucy and Ellie. And my wife, too, that's not my other kid in the middle. You're like, that's kind of odd. Like, you have a 30-something-year-old daughter? No, that's Lucy and Ellie and Joy, and we're hanging out the carousel, and they love it. And it's really wild. Like, when you see them, they kind of light up. You know, when you see kids walk up to the big thing where Santa hangs out at the mall, and they put an extra step in their walk. Like, they're extra. They're just exuberant. They're super excited to visit this guy with a beard and a red hat. And it's kind of weird. If you really step back and think about it, it's a little strange. But it's a cool tradition, and it's something that I think invokes wonder in kids. And so this is a season that I think does that really, really, really well. It invokes wonder in kids, and it can invoke wonder in us. And I think it actually, if it's done right, I think it should invoke some kind of wonder in us. And what do I mean by wonder? The definition of wonder in the dictionary says this. It says, wonder is a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, inexplicable, something that we can't quite grasp or understand. Wonder. And this is a season of wonder, a season that we should be cultivating wonder in each other. And so I wonder about that, though. As we're kids, maybe we have that. So sometimes it's good to like kind of recollect what we did growing up. So I want to do this. I want to take a couple minutes and have us share with each other what were some of the traditions that you grew up with as kids, especially traditions that made you kind of a little filled with wonder, or just any traditions you did with your family growing up. So if you turn to a few people around you, maybe some people you don't know, and discuss that for a couple minutes. Go for it. Man, lots of stories. Lots of stories. Chris, turn that up. Turn it back up. Let me see. Oh, that was the end of it. Crud. I just heard it for a second. I was like, oh, yeah. Like that Charlie Brown Christmas, right? Like, that's a tradition. A lot of people do that. The Charlie Brown Christmas special, right? There's a lot of fun stuff. Man, I've heard a lot of stuff this weekend from you guys about some interesting traditions, some things that I'm not going to repeat from the stage. But when I was a kid, one of the sort of traditions that I had kind of myself was I'd really look forward to coming down Christmas morning and open gifts. What kid doesn't, right? But I was a little extreme in that I would go to bed on Christmas Eve, and I would take my Casio watch, and I would strap it to my ear with a rubber band. And because I knew, like, you're not supposed to wake up the family too early, so I would set it for, like, something absurd, like 4:30 in the morning. And to avoid waking up my family, I would have this wristwatch strapped to my chest, and then it would go off, and I would sneak down the hall. And we had hardwood floors, and so I would usually crawl, and I would take like 10 minutes to get down the hall, because I did not want to wake any people up, and especially not the dog, because if you wake the dog up, then the dog gets all crazy and starts waking people up. And I would sneak down by the tree, and I would look, and I would cheat, right? I would cheat. Is that cheating? I guess. And I would look at the gifts. After a few years, Santa picked up on this, and he started wrapping my presents. And so then I would just shake them, and I would try to figure out what they were, and I would memorize their position around the tree. But it was this whole ritual that took place. And then I would go get my brother after a while, my younger brother, and then we'd slowly start to wake other people up, my folks, the dog. But it became this ritual that actually, I think, is kind of a beautiful picture of what Advent is. And see, Advent is a time when we are awakened, when we have a different posture, like an expectation. Something like anticipation is just like brewing in us. And children, I think, really get it. At least I got it when I was a kid. And adults sometimes get it, but I don't. There's something that happens in between now and then. I don't know. But this posture of anticipation, I think, is just, it's a beautiful picture of what Advent is and was supposed to be. And Advent actually was created, conceived back in the 4th century as a period of fasting and repentance, for people to focus their view. So they have, like, a lot of things going on in life, and they realized they needed a season to slow things down and to look at what was really important, and to put themselves back in the place of the Jews, back as they were anticipating a Messiah, right? So the Jews are waiting expectantly for a Messiah to come and save them. And so to put ourselves back in that position, that's the whole concept of Advent. And it became this season that wasn't just like about one day, but it was actually, it was several weeks. And it was about honing in our view and about putting this posture in us, this posture of anticipation, right? Creating that, cultivating that within us. And it was this really good season designed to realign us, a time to make us wait, right? A period of time that was supposed to create a place where we're waiting on God. And also designed to make us okay with the fact that the world is messed up and broken, but we have hope. So in this season of waiting, birthed out of it would be this divine hope. And it would happen once a year so that we could realign our focus. And as we go into the new year then, we have this very certain, solid hope, this foundation, this rock that we've built our life on. And that is the rock of the promise of Jesus, the great hope into the world. But what happened? It's always the but what happened, right? If we're honest, does our Advent look like that now? Does our Advent look like a time that cultivates waiting and hope? and anticipation? Does our Advent hone in our views so that we really are just narrowly focused on the things that matter the most to us? Originally, Advent was conceived as a time of fasting and repentance. Based on some conversations that I've heard, I don't think there's any fasting going on right now. Maybe that's in January. But Advent, Richard Rohr writes this, and I love this, that Advent is a season. Advent means to be aware. Advent means to be alive. Advent means to be attentive. Advent means to be alert. And Advent means to be awake, fully awake to God around us, to God moving in us, to God moving in our community, and for us to be, have our eyes open to see things the way that God sees them, to be at our, like a heightened sense of awareness to the people around us and to the needs of the world around us. But what has happened is this incredible enemy has come into our Advent season. And I like to call that enemy the holiday pace. The holiday pace. And if you think about what Advent is designed to be, and we think about all those things, it's very, very far from that. There's no peace. There's no rest. There's no hope. In fact, it kind of is like the opposite of that, right? How many of you, when January comes, you feel like relieved that you get to take down the tree and you don't have to look at those stupid decorations anymore? Right? How many of you start to feel somewhat kind of itchy in late September because you know you're going to walk into a department store and you're going to see freaking garland lined up, right? Do you know what I'm feeling? Like, it's, and I think, if I'm right, I think it's a sense of dread that is birthed in us because piece of us knows that we're going to have to put up with this stuff for the next few months and our lives are going to get insane. Our lives are going to get crazy. Right? We're going to have to deal with which parties we're going to go to, how we're going to, you know, get our kids from point A to point B at them. We have to deal with buying gifts for everyone and receiving the right gifts. And buying gifts is an art, friends. Buying gifts, if you know this, it's like if you don't want to overspend on someone, right? Especially because then that sets up expectation for the years after that you're going to do that. And you don't want to underspend, or you don't want to, like, give them a gift that doesn't matter. There's just fine line you walk. So you're constantly kind of thinking about that. You're thinking about all these parties. Maybe you host family in town. Maybe you have to set up travel arrangements. All of these things kind of pile up. So for the next 4 weeks, I guarantee it, the way your life is going to go from here is probably, as it is, simply just party after party. Your schedule is going to get filled up. Most of us even put off major decisions until after Advent, right? We think, you know what, let's wait till Christmas is over to do that. Or have you had somebody ever say to you, let's put that off till after the holidays. Let's talk about that later. If there's an issue or if there's anything, we want to let's put that off. Let's not address anything that means anything. The only way, guys, that we can ever retrieve this original beautiful intention of Advent, this posture of anticipation, is if we stop. You see, first we have to stop. We have to stop for a minute and slow ourselves down and be decisive and be intentional about where we're spending our time. Okay, so today is the first Sunday of Advent, okay? In our church at the Orchard here, we're in the middle. We're about to launch a new series. That's why stage looks all black like this. Our series is called The Art of Advent. We're really pretty pumped about it. It starts next week. But today is actually the first Sunday of Advent. And I want to invite you on a journey over these next few weeks. A journey away from celebrating just the Christmas season, like maybe a lot of us have done for a long time, and back to celebrating true Advent and developing within us a posture of anticipation. You see, postures don't come easy. You can't just pick up a quick book, and learn a new posture, right? If you have to develop your posture, it takes time, right? It takes work. If I have lousy posture, right, if this is like my norm, like to stand up straight, like that takes, it takes thought, it takes work, and it takes time. And so developing a posture of anticipation takes some time, and it takes work, it takes energy. But I want to invite you in on this. So we have a, excuse me, my voice. Sometimes it gets dry. My throat gets dry. Does this happen to you? You're like, no. You just forgot what you were going to say. Listen, so there's a couple stories I want to tell you. One story in particular I want to point us to is a story in the Gospels of a pretty familiar story of Jesus encountering some friends, Mary and Martha. It's going to be up on the screen. I want you to just follow along. I'll read this out loud for us. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem..." Well, let me read this how I think it probably sounded to Jesus. "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Thanks. "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. It will not be taken away from her. There is only one thing worth being concerned about.'" Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. You know it, right? She was preparing a big feast. She was cooking the big turkey, right? Or maybe a pot roast, right? Maybe Jesus got a thing for Thai food or barbecue, right? Jesus is like really into some good barbecue, and Martha is cooking up the best barbecue. But you know that behind the scenes then was Mary with an intentional decision to sit down and just hang out with Jesus, just to be with Jesus, to actually slow down and stop. And that she knew that really only one thing was important, and that was to simply be. This idea of being is really, really, really crazy hard for us. Guys, especially this time of year, our pace is picking up right now, right? And it's going to get crazier over the next few weeks. So to make a decision to focus on the one thing that is truly important means that we have to make an intentional decision to let go of a bunch of other stuff, okay? Letting go of our agenda, letting go of our plans, letting go of our desire to please every single person around us, letting go of that nagging feeling that we have to have it all together, that we have to have the answers, that everything in the world comes back to us, and so we have to have our act together, right? So we feel this burden, and it's not your fault necessarily. It's not my fault. It's just where we are. It's the pace of our culture, a culture that values black and white. When Jesus calls us to just sit in a world of gray, of maybe even not knowing the end result. See, it's a mystery. Jesus, even himself, the fact that God, the God who created us, the God who knit us together, who designed atoms, who designed the parts of our brain to work together with our arms and our legs and our feet and our hands, and created the sky and the stars and dreamed up crazy things for us to be able to look at, like platypus, like a giraffe. That God became a human being and a little baby. And the truth is that nobody was expecting him to come as a lowly infant, right? God calls us to a place where we are ready for the unexpected. We don't know the answers. It's mysterious. There's crazy things. God is always up to crazy things, and he will always be up to crazy things. And so a posture of anticipation leans in, and it sits at the feet of Jesus like a child. I almost picture Mary being more like a child sitting at the foot of an adult who is telling her these stories, these captivating stories. I imagine what they're conversing about, right? And he's telling her maybe some stories about the kingdom of God, but maybe he's telling her just some stories about where he grew up, right? Maybe he's telling her stories that illustrate even better what God is like. And she's hungry for it. And she doesn't know what to expect, but she's sitting forward. She's leaning forward with that anticipation, that posture of anticipation, and she's waiting on Jesus. She's filled with that holy unknowing, that letting go, that letting go. And so for us to be able to train ourselves to sit in that posture, we have to let go. We have to have that same posture. We have to break out of the magnet of consumerism that demands that we have all the answers together and now. And we have to be able to live in the moment, simply be with Jesus. And when we say, "Come, Lord Jesus," we enter into a deeper journey, a more mysterious journey. See, I believe that's what happened with Mary. She made an intentional decision and said, "Come, Lord Jesus, come into my home. Come and let me sit next to you and let me listen to you. Come, Lord Jesus." Say that with me. Come, Lord Jesus. Really simple. Inviting him, right? And so, understanding this, to me, like, this is not easy. I'm not talking about this stuff because I'm really good at it. I'm talking about this stuff because I'm pretty lousy at it. And I think a lot of us, if we admit that what we've turned Advent into is basically a Christmas bonanza, we're at a starting point. Once we admit that, we're at a starting point to be able to engage in a true meaning of Advent that points our hearts forward and gives us hope. And so with this, we have a decision, right? We have today, the 28th of November. We've got a month before Christmas. We've got a few weeks of Advent here. This could go one of a couple ways for you, okay? One way is it goes down the same path that you kind of have been going down, and you go along with your Christmas plans, and things are fun, but they're busy, and you're adding a lot of things to your calendar, and it's all packed full of stuff. There's a lot of food, a lot of cookies, a lot of, you know, wine, and whatever you do at your holiday things, right? That's fun. We like that. And you might completely miss the point, though, unless you take that leap. That letting go and that surrender. And if we don't make an actual decision about it, if we don't actually set aside this right now, here's what I think happens is that Macy's and Walmart and Target, they're going to decide for you, right? It's like pedaling a bicycle uphill. If you stop pedaling that bicycle uphill, you know what happens, right? What happens? Have you ever ridden a bike before? You kind of coast back down, right? You fall, right? You've got to work at it. We'll have to work at it together. So right now, I'll break it down. I've got a few ideas I just want to share with you. There's plenty of ideas out there, but a few things to help us along that path, okay? And if you have a pen and paper, you might want to write some of this stuff down. It might be helpful for you over the coming weeks. One of them is simply this: time with God. Very simple. Right, very straightforward and very much the Mary story, right? Being intentional about it. You have a cell phone that's probably in your pocket, and probably on your cell phone somewhere in there is a clock or an alarm, right? Take it out and set your alarm tomorrow 30 minutes earlier than you would typically get up. Okay, I know the common answer, and I'm looking at a lot of your faces like, oh. The common answer is like, well, I'm not a morning person. Like, listen, like, mornings, I've got, you saw my kids, right? Mornings are, I'm not really a morning person, but you know what? If we're going to do this journey together, let's do this together and commit to that. In the morning, it's before the day grips your mind and your life, and it allows you the space to simply be with God before you jump into your calendar and the rest of things, right? So just time to be with God. Some of you might need some resources. I know I sometimes need some help with that. If I just sit there with an open Bible or just like if I sit there just by myself and I'm quiet before God and I still my mind and I usually fall asleep. But if I have something I'm engaging with, sometimes a devotional or something, like that'll help. There's one that I quoted a little piece of it earlier. It's by this guy, Richard Rohr. He's a Catholic priest from New Mexico, a good guy. It's pretty deep. It's heavy stuff. It's really, really, really good. And there's a thing every single day that you can go through. And it starts today, actually. So we've got these in the lobby. You can pick them up for a couple bucks at the end. There's lots of other resources too. If you don't want that one, there are plenty of stuff. But we want to give you guys a tool so we could go on this journey together. So that's one thing: time with God. Another one, and this is pretty simple: music and art. Right? I mentioned that earlier when we were singing together, that art is a way that we can be pointed Godward. Right, if we're surrounding ourselves with things that point us to holy, point us to God, it's easier for us to engage with them. What I sometimes like to think of it is creating little sanctuaries, right? And you have a home, right? And you have a car, and you at least have a little space that you can create a little atmosphere, a little sanctuary wherever you go. And it might involve listening to some music. And it might involve you picking up some paintings or something that causes you to like stop in your day and look at and reflect and think about something beyond what's right in front of you. Right? It causes you to stop and think about bigger things. That's the beauty of what art can do. So music and art are a great thing. I've got some CDs actually in the lobby. I'll tell you about that later. Next thing. I forgot what it is. Oh, yeah. Outward-focused family time. Outward-focused family time. And I intentionally put outward-focused because this. Listen, the best way I see it to cut off the grip of consumerism, the consumer magnet, right? The best way to disarm that thing is by focusing our minds and attentions on things that are outside of us, okay? You are getting millions and millions of messages that tell you every day to feed yourself, to do things for yourself, the very self-focused things. And that comes in the form of advertising. But by stopping that, we can actually disarm the magnet of consumerism. And we can do it for our families, too. So that's why doing things together like with a family thing, like GiftMart, is awesome. Like, this is a fantastic opportunity for you to get your family into a place of serving somebody outside of your family and to make your kids aware of need around you. I've got some friends who go every year, and they put a bunch of sandwiches together, peanut butter and jelly, and they pack them in a bag in a cooler, and they go and they take a train into Chicago. They walk around the loop, and they hand them out to homeless people. Really simple, right? And something you could do with your family, and it's actually kind of fun, too. Doing things that kind of point us outward, and doing things with your family. Like, tell your kids to leave their... I keep saying Walkman. I'm dating myself. Leave your Walkman at home, kids. Leave your leave that Walkman at home and don't put that on, or your Game Boy, you know, and leave that at home, kid, Sonny. Seriously, to ask your kids, you know what, we're going to go look at Christmas lights. We're going to go drive around and look at Christmas lights. And let's just have time together as a family and hang out and go do that. create little spaces, little times like that, magical times. Go make snow angels. Go make snowmen. Create something with them. These are just expressions of just being. It's that what happens when we're with people, really, really, really with people. The next thing on there, on this little list here, is relational gift giving. Relational gift giving is different than regular gift giving because regular gift giving usually means that you are going to Best Buy or Kmart or Walmart and you're going to find like the best value for your money that's going to make everybody feel good, right? And sometimes there's not a lot of thought into it. Or maybe you give gift cards, right? Relational gift giving means you really take a minute to think about what you're getting for that person. So maybe you're getting something that's a little bit outside the norm. Maybe you're supporting some local art by buying some art by some local artists or something. There's a lot of stuff. Man, the internet is full of it. Etsy, you ever hear that website? Like, check it out. Like, there's a lot of like really unique kind of gifts that you can buy for people that, you know, it'll make you look really creative. All right. But the cool thing is that relational gift giving, it means something to somebody. Then, you know, most gifts that rot after like a year or two or like it, you know, you forget about it, like, or you sell it on eBay because it's obsolete. Relational gift giving, you create something for somebody or you buy something that's more unique and specific for that person. And maybe what that means is that you're giving for less people this year because it takes you more time. But be intentional about that. An Advent calendar, right? How many grew up with Advent calendars? Right, Advent calendar, when I was a kid, we had an Advent calendar. There's two kinds, right? There's one that has chocolate in it, and there's one that doesn't have chocolate. When I was a kid, we had the kind with no chocolate in it because we didn't know the ones with chocolate existed. And I grew up with, I was excited. I'm making myself look like a total nerd here, but like, man, I was like really excited to open up the little door and there was like a bird behind it. And it was like, oh, there's a bird behind number 13, right? But that was it. Like it was something every day. You knew it. You knew that there was something coming in the next day. And it's this thing that points you towards something. And you knew that the big door at the end of the season comes on Christmas Eve and you open it and that's something special and it makes you look forward to it, right? When I found out that there was ones with chocolate in it, I was kind of pissed. Advent candles. We're going to do this here in just a little bit. Same kind of thing. Advent candles, they represent the light of Christ in our lives. And you see there's purple ones and there's a pink one. The first three are purple. And purple, it's a color that represents royalty. Because the baby Jesus, even though he was in this really like lowly place, he was a king, right? And the pink one represents love and hope and joy. And it points us forward. And that's the one we do in the last week. But you can do this with your family. And go Google Advent calendar or go Google Advent candle prayers. And you'll find a ton of prayers that you could do with your family together. Really kind of a unique thing that you could do with your family. And so these are just a handful of things. Man, there's so much other things you could do. Seriously. There's a lot of stuff out there. By the way, on the music thing, I want to say something else about that. How many people like Christmas music? How many people think Christmas music is from Satan? Okay, all right. Less of you. Well, that's probably pretty good. So I admit that there is some Christmas music out there that maybe isn't like, I don't know, like it might get on your nerves. Do you know what I mean? But man, if you've given up on Christmas music, don't. Because there's some really, really good stuff out there. And I don't say that just because I made Christmas records. But I say it because there's a lot of really good stuff out there. And go find it. Go find it. Actually, if you follow me, I'll do a blog post this week on it. If you follow my blog, it's benthomasonline.com. If you follow that, I'll try to put one up this week, and I'll reference a bunch of those. But there's some good stuff out there. To create these spaces for us. Man, we have a lot of tools. We have so many resources available to us to help us on this journey. This could be a really new and fresh season for us together as a community and for us as individuals. I want to challenge you, though. Like, look, like, this isn't going to be something that just is easy. That's why we need to take this time. That's why I said that we have this window of time right here. It's after Thanksgiving, and it's the first Sunday of Advent. We're about to launch into something here. And from here on, your schedule is going to get insane. Your calendar, if it's not already booked up, it's going to get very, very full. And so my challenge today is that you set yourself up right. Imagine this. Imagine 1 month from now. 1 month from now, we've just finished Christmas, and you're not sick of Christmas. Imagine 1 month from now, you look back and you go, man, like, that was just such a powerful season. I'm so excited for the new year. I'm ready. I've developed these new habits for myself that I'm really anticipating more Jesus in my life, more of God, like, working through me. Imagine being able to sit here on Christmas Eve and feel like the celebration of Christmas, this is just the next step in. We've been doing it for 4 whole weeks, and we get to begin it today. So I want to invite you in on that, and I want to challenge you to join me, join the rest of us on this journey together for Advent, okay? You down with that? Good, all right. So here's how we're going to start. We're going to pray, and I want to do this. If you would, maybe for some of us, I'll tell you what, this phone represents for me a lot of the crazy, right? So if you have one of these things, hold it like this. Hold it in your hand. Or maybe do this. Put it like this so that it's before God, right? All right? And in your other hand, just put it open like this because you're being willing to receive whatever Jesus has for you, right? Whatever it means, even though we don't know, it's kind of a mystery. We're like Mary, and we're going to say, we're hungry for something. We just want to hear from you, God. And let's pray this prayer. Let's pray it. God, we ask that during this season you would take our lives, take the moments that make up the days, that make up the weeks that are ahead of us, and use it to reestablish hope in us and to reset us with a posture that leans into you, that expects something incredible to happen, that looks for you in places that we otherwise wouldn't be looking for you. Lord, we are hungry for you. Help us. Help us to set ourselves up well. In Jesus, we pray this. Amen.